as much as if they were. Their parents lived exactly opposite. They inhabited two garrets, and where the roof of the one house joined that of the other, and the gutter ran along the extreme end of it, there was to each house a small window. One needed only to step over the gutter to get from one window to the other. The children's parents had large wooden boxes there, in which vegetables for the kitchen were planted, as well as little rose trees. There was a rose in each box, and they grew splendidly. They now thought of placing the boxes across the gutter, so that they nearly reached from one window to the other and looked just like two walls of flowers. The tendrils of the peas hung down over the boxes, and the rose trees shot up long branches which twined round the windows and then bent towards each other. It was almost like a triumphant arch of foliage and flowers. The boxes were very high, and the children knew that they must not creep over them, because that was too dangerous. But they often obtained permission to climb out of the windows opposite each other and to sit on their little stools among the roses, where they could play delightfully. In winter, there was an end of this pleasure. The windows were often frozen over, but then they heated copper farthings on the stove and laid the hot farthing on the window pane, and then they had a capital peephole, quite nicely rounded, and out of each peeped a gentle, friendly eye. It was the little boy and the little girl who were looking out. His name was Kay, hers was Gerda. In summer, with one jump, they could get to each other, but in winter they were obliged first to go down the long stairs and then up the long stairs again, and once out of doors, there seemed to be quite a snowstorm.
"It is the white bees that are swarming," said Kay's old grandmother.
"Do the white bees choose a queen?"
asked the little boy, for he knew that the honeybees always have one.
"Yes," said the grandmother. "She flies where the swarm hangs in the thickest clusters. She is the largest of all, and she can never remain quietly on the earth, but goes up again into the black clouds. Many a winter's night she flies through the streets of the town and peeps in at the windows, and they then freeze in so wondrous a manner that they look like flowers."
"Yes, I have seen it,"
said both the children, and so they knew that it was true.
"Can the Snow Queen come in?"
said the little girl.
"Only let her come in,"
said the little boy. "Then I put her on the stove and she'd melt."
And then his grandmother patted his head and told him other stories. In the evening, when little Kay was at home and half undressed, he climbed up on the chair by the window and peeped out of the little hole. A few snowflakes were falling, and one, the largest of all, remained lying on the edge of a flower pot. The flake of snow grew larger and larger, and at last it was like a young lady, dressed in the finest white gauze, made of a million little flakes like stars. She was so beautiful and delicate, but she was made of ice, of dazzling, sparkling ice. Yet she lived and breathed. Her eyes gazed fixedly, like two stars, but there was neither quiet nor repose in them. She nodded towards the window and beckoned with her hand. The little boy was frightened and jumped down from the chair. It seemed to him as if, at the same moment, a large bird flew past the window. The next day there was a sharp frost, and then the spring came. The sun shone, the green leaves appeared, the swallows built their nests, the windows were opened, and the little children again sat in their pretty garden, high up on the leads at the top of the house. That summer, the roses flowered in unwonted beauty. The little girl had learned a hymn in which there was something about roses, and then she thought of her own flowers, and she sang the verse to the little boy, who then sang it with her.
"The rose in the valley is blooming so sweet, and angels descend there the children to greet."
And the children held each other by the hand, kissed the roses, looked up at the clear sunshine, and spoke as though they really saw angels there. What lovely summer days those were! How delightful to be out in the air, near the fresh rose bushes that seem as if they would never finish blossoming.